I'm going to give it a go, and that's really kind of been my attitude for everything I've taken on.
All right, welcome to another edition of Transformations Through Running. Thanks so much for being here with us and tuning in to check out what we have going on today. I'm bringing on Martin Parnell, and the guy is an absolute blast. I had the opportunity to meet Martin a number of times. I saw him in his superhero outfit. I saw him out there running. We met at a trade show, and he signed a book for me. Super great guy. He's doing all kinds of great things for the running community and for kids as well, which I absolutely love. In fact, there's so many things that I love about this interview and Martin. He started running at age 47. I think many times people think it's almost time to start slowing down, if you will. Martin's been through so many different adventures. He has endless stories. And for me, I really enjoy how he talks about his finish the race attitude. That means so much. I think in many cases, we are looking to things that don't necessarily matter. Sometimes all that matters is that you start and finish. Everything else in between is details, but finish the race one step in front of the other. And if you ever see Martin out there on the racetrack or racing or running, you can tell that's exactly what he's doing. He's putting one foot in front of the other, and he's going to explain how powerful those words throughout this interview. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running Podcast.
Welcome to the show, Martin.
Yeah, morning, Drew. Great to be here.
So we had the opportunity to meet at the Calgary Marathon. That was my first time being there, to be honest with you, which is might be a little bit embarrassing since I grew up in Calgary. But you know, it was so cool to see you there. You were in your superhero gear. It's so cool. You know, we got a real live superhero first time on the show, Martin. You know, I love your attitude. I love the way you're approaching health and wellness, setting goals, success, failure. You have so much to offer. I want to give you a chance to talk with our audience just a bit here. Let us know who you are, where you're coming from, and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Drew. Well, first of all, I'm a rookie superhero. I'm fairly new, okay? Yeah. Captain Clockbuster has only been going about 10 months now, and we'll get into him a little later, yeah, as to why he's on the scene and he's doing a lot of running. But gosh, yeah, I mean, I didn't start running until I was 47. I guess that's maybe a good place to start. And only because my brother challenged me to a marathon. And the marathon he challenged me to, the Calgary Marathon in 2003. So really, when we met, that was 13 years later. So there's been a lot happening between 2003 and 2016.
Wow. So this whole crazy journey began just because your brother said, what did he say? He said, I bet you can't do this, or do you want to race?
He's younger than me. To be frank with you, I was, you know, as a kid in England, I was kind of known as a huggable child. Yeah, I think the politically correct term these days is fat. Yeah, I was a kind of a big kid and always in England pick last for the soccer team or the cricket team or the rugby team. But that was sad. But the great thing was my parents loved sport for the sake of sport. So, you know, when I'd go home in the evenings or on the weekends, you know, I played tennis and table tennis and badminton with my mum and dad, mothers, brothers and sisters. So I've always loved sport, but never, quite frankly, been good at anything. So I didn't run. So when I got the challenge from my brother, I mean, I said yes right away. I mean, I won't lie, as a younger brother, it's a sibling, I'm not going to say no. But then I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I got to start training now. So that was a big wake up call.
So what did that look like when you were, have you ever run before? Seriously?
No. So it was ugly. So the first, I was in Sudbury, Ontario at the time, and it was December, middle of December. It was a snowy, wet, snowy, cold night, and you know, he phoned me, and I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." And I thought, I mean, right away, I put the phone down. I thought, "Well, I've got 6 months here," because the race was in July of 2003. So I went out that night, and down the street, the street lights were on. This big wet snow was coming down, and I ran 1 kilometer out along the roadway and 1 kilometer back. And it was awful. I had tennis shoes, the cotton, the track pants, everything's cotton. It's soaking wet. I'm freezing. And I'm thinking, this is horrendous. Like, I've done 2 kilometers. I've got another 40 to do. So it was a very rough start, Drew, to be honest.
That's pretty cool, because we all start out like that. Anytime we try something new, it's usually, I think sometimes when maybe someone talks to me about business or whatever, if it's setting or achieving goals, we think that there's so many people that they're just naturally good at it. But if I look at my life, there's been very few things that I've ever been good at. Just starting out, it's always taking some time and effort to make it work.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, as you say, you see people who are successful in sports, successful in business, and it looks like they've just floated along. Well, I think the majority, especially when you have to start and it's taking that first step, it's a tough one for everybody. I don't think it's wonderful, easy go. It's tough. And that's one of the biggest things, is taking that first step. When I opened that door and headed out into the snow, in some ways, that was one of the biggest steps of my life, and just to get going. And, I did that first sort of 2K run that night, and it was awful. So I thought, okay, the next night, I thought, well, let me try it again. Let's see if I can do 2K out, 2K back. Well, I did that, and it was twice as bad. So, I mean, it didn't get any easier, Drew, to be honest with you. And it was right then I this is a big lesson I've taken with me. Since I really got into this, more so I would say, is I got help. I joined the Sudbury Rocks Running Club. And I think that's one thing when you start something new again in your personal life or in business. Get help. We know some stuff, but there's lots we don't know. And so joining the running club, boy, there was a group of people with the knowledge of running, of the, running gear, the running nutrition, hydration. And that was a huge turnaround.
Martin, let's fast forward here. There's so many things that you've done. To be honest with you, I don't even know where to start. We're going to get into some details and some questions I have, but for our listeners that may not have heard about you or your book, is there, again, I know there's so many things, is there maybe 3 or 4 points that you can pick out, like your 250 marathons in a year or the money you've raised for your charity? Could you give us a small handful of the things that stand out right now in this particular moment?
Yeah, let me pick kind of 3. So the first one was in 2005, so 2 years after I started running. In 2005, I did a bike trip across Africa from Cairo to Cape Town, 4 months, 10 countries, 12,000 kilometers. There was a group of us, and it was a huge undertaking for me. And I think one of the learnings I had was, they ended up playing sport with children right across the continent, table tennis, running, soccer. And it was a huge eye-opener to me, the power of sport and how it can raise spirits and give children hope. Fast forward to 2009, and I'd been getting into running, triathlon, ultra running, even more. But in 2009, I was introduced to Right to Play, the children's charity, and they use play and sport to teach kids life skills, leadership, team building, conflict resolution, and they're in 20 countries around the world. The two things came together. I wanted to do a fundraiser. I wanted to give back. I wanted to give and help children. And so the idea of running 250 marathons in 1 year was born, to raise $250,000, and I started that in January 1st, 2010.
To me, I think the average person, 250 marathons in a year, is that, I think we worked that out to 5 marathons a week?
Exactly, yeah, 5 a week, Drew, for a year. But with 12 what I call spare days for little injuries and sort of recovery. But yeah, basically 5 a week for a year.
What is that like? I couldn't imagine, you know, most people train for months before they try this attempt a marathon. You're doing this every single day.
Yeah, every day, 5 days a week. It's like a full-time job, Drew, to be honest. You know, 9 to 5, you know, head out the door with my, you know, my lunch pail and off I go for 42.2. But you got to appreciate, this was in 2010 and I'd started running in 2003 and I built up to running ultra races, 100 kilometers, you know, 100 mile races. But even so, I mean, obviously this was a huge undertaking. And to be frank with you, Drew, I didn't have a clue what was going to happen. And it was a, you know, a leap of faith. I wanted to raise $250,000 for Right to Play. And I talked to my wife, Sue. She's been a huge supporter. And I said, Sue, I want to try this. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to give it a go. And that's really kind of been my attitude for everything I've taken on.
I always talk about finding, I think, the why or a reason why we really want to get through difficult obstacles in our life. Was that Right to Play for you, or was there another reason that pushed you through to the difficult times?
No, it was Right to Play. You know, that was my passion. That was the why. The what was running the 250 marathons. You know, that was the what, the actual physical challenge. But the why was to help children who just need a helping hand. And so whenever I, you know, whenever I was feeling down during that year in 2010, fatigued, it was the fact that I had committed to help these kids. If every $50 gives one child the Right to Play program for a year, so, you know, raising that money would help 5,000 children. So that is what drove me, not my own personal need to do it. Drew, I didn't need to do it, trust me. You know, that's a lot of running, but I wanted to do it to help the kids.
Seems to be difficult when we go and go after our dreams or find our passion. Seems to be challenging for the everyday person. How did you find this Right to Play, and or how would you recommend someone going to find something like a charity to push them through and help them reach their goals?
Absolutely. I think, you know, for me, it took me a while. I mean, I didn't hear about Right to Play until 2009. I mean, I was, you know, 54. I mean, this is kind of late coming for me. I suggest if you can find it earlier, that's even better. But, you know, whatever your passion is, for me, it's kids. You know, I'm married. I got 3 kids, 3 grandkids. I just really, the next generation, I want to be able to do something, be a bit of a mentor. And that's my passion. Whether it's the same thing, whether it's fundraising for you know, for cancer or for, you know, another passion, but find something and look for it. Take time, explore, try things that you really believe in and you can and you really want to do something for, and then figure out what talent you have. And this is, you know, we talk about talent, we talk about, you know, people who have musical talent or acting talent or dancing talent or whatever. I mean, I have a talent. I found it. I'm very good at doing long, slow, boring things. That's my gift. That's my gift from God. Yeah. For some reason, I can put one foot in front of the other for hours and hours and hours on end. So I decided to take that and use that in a way that I could then help children. So I think that's the trick is, you know, when it comes to talent, don't be boxed in as to what it means. You know, think about what you love doing. Maybe it's needlework. Maybe it's art. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it's gardening. But find something you love to do and figure out a way of then combining that with your passion.
Tell me about what it's like, because you're running for hours on end, as you're explaining here. What is going through your mind when it's just day after day and it's got to be lonely, it's got to be mentally challenging? Can you walk us through this a bit?
Sure. There's absolutely nothing going through my mind, Drew. It's a big blank. Yeah. No, it's kind of, I mean, you know, I kind of laugh and I don't listen to music. So I haven't got my headphones on. I'm not listening to a podcast or to, you know, latest tunes. What I love doing is I love running. I love running, especially along the river or in the mountains or along the coast. And I love the sound of nature. I also, you know, like the sound, the cadence of my foot hitting the ground, my heartbeat. And also, I have to monitor my intake of hydration, the water, and nutrition. So I'm always, you know, looking at my Garmin, you know, GPS, my pace. For me, there's always something going on. I'm always observing what's happening. And every, in my mind, every second is a different picture. So as I run along, obviously the scenery changes, and I observe and I look at the world around me. And honestly, the time just flies by. So, you know, it's not very complicated. I just love, races are great. You know, I see the spectators and say hi. But when I'm on my own on the trails or something, I just love being out in nature. And for me, it's a very spiritual feeling.
Tell me about failure a little bit here, because there's one part in your book you're talking about when you're in Africa where you fell. I don't remember what the exact number was, 6 or 8 times you jumped on a bike and the bike wasn't really working out for you, or the ground was a little bit different than you're used to. Tell me what got you up. Maybe it was right to play, but how did you get up and keep pushing on, and how do you do that throughout your running career here?
Yeah, I have fallen a lot of times. I just fell on Saturday. I did a trail race in the mountains, hit a root and went flying. But I mean, the thing is, you have to get up. I mean, I think the issue is, if I go down, whether it's on a bike or whether I'm, you know, running, or in life, you know, again, personal or you know, business. I mean, you have to get up and brush yourself off and keep pushing forward. It's not very pretty. I think the thing is, you know, people think, you know, it's sort of, I don't know, we can get through stuff by just technology or whatever. But the reality is, it's just pure grit and determination and hanging in there. And half the time, it's just pushing through to get to the next checkpoint or the next break or a place where you can, you know, wash the blood off your knee or whatever. So it's literally just taking those next few steps and not, you know, not projecting way into the future. Just get to the next spot, kind of, you know, assess where you are and then get going again. So it's just having that mindset, I think. And I call it actually having a finish the race attitude. I talk a lot about, you know, goal setting, overcoming obstacles to achieve your full potential. And this is this is what I try and instill in the people I talk with, the employees, the different, you know, the different groups, is just don't go too far ahead of yourself. Just try and get through the next bit and then move on from there. I call it chunking it down. You know, I chunk my life down to 10-minute segments and it works. Get through the next 10 minutes and get something done and then move on. And it's amazing. You add all the 10 minutes up and by the end of the day, you've got a full day and you've accomplished quite a bit.
I want to talk about Captain Clotbuster, who he is, how he came to be, and you know where he came from. When we first met, you were in full costume, full uniform. And then we saw you running did you run your marathon that day? So that's what you're running?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. As the captain. First marathon, yeah.
Tell me about this.
I have to take you back now to February of last year, 2015. I had completed my quest for kids, which was my 10 quests in 5 years to try and raise $1 million for Right to Play. The marathon, the 250 marathons, was one quest, and I completed nine more in that 5-year period, including 5 Guinness World Records, climbing Kilimanjaro in 21 hours. And in February of last year, I was kind of I had just finished that. And I was getting into my speaking profession. I'm a keynote speaker and author, and I was actually in Winnipeg. about to give a keynote at a conference. I arrived there and I felt, I wasn't feeling good. I'd had migraines the week before. I got there and I was, to be frank, I was as sick as a dog. My head was just pounding, just totally debilitated. And the organizer said, "Martin, I'm taking you to the hospital." So she drove me to the hospital in Winnipeg. They gave me a CT scan, and an hour later, the specialist said, "Martin, you have a massive clot on the brain." And they immediately put me into emergency and it put me into an induced coma for 24 hours. And so from being, you know, fit and feeling good and really having this, you know, keynote profession ahead of me kind of thing, you know, my speaking engagements all lined up, suddenly everything was shut down. I was in hospital for 2 weeks in Winnipeg, and then they sent me home. But for 3 months, I couldn't walk, I just sat on the sofa, double vision from the pressure of the clot on the optic nerve, and literally, you know, was reflecting on what's going on here. I was on medication, on blood thinners, and my wife, Sue, again, was a huge support, just looking after me. Slowly, I got back walking, and in May, started walking. 2 months later, started running, and I felt good in October. I wanted to do a race, and there was one called the Dash of Doom in Calgary, and I thought, well, I'd love to do that, but it was a dress-up one. It was, you know, one of these kind of Halloween dress-up things. And talking to my wife and I, we wanted to come up with a costume. So that was how Captain Clotbuster was evolved. He is a rookie superhero that helps people. His motto is keep fit and do good. And he's just my alter ego that I use for running now. And I just use him as, I don't know, a way of, you know, of spreading, you know, good news and motivating people. So the captain, his first race was in October last year, a 10K. He's since run the police half this year and the Calgary Marathon, Drew, the one that you were at. That was his first marathon. But I want to let you know now, this has just come out, he has signed up next year to run a 150-kilometer race at the Calgary Marathon.
Wow. Have you done 150 before?
I have, but to be honest, that was a few years ago. Now, this 150, it's in celebration of Canada's birthday next year, which is 150 years, and the Calgary Marathon are putting on this 150-kilometer ultra. It'll start at 7 at night, and it'll be finished by noon the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this is a big, Drew, you have to come out and cheer me on at night, man. This is going to be a big challenge for the captain. He's never done anything like this. So that's on his, there, you come on out, man. Yeah, support me. Give me, you know, ham sandwiches and chicken soup and stuff while I'm running around doing 10K loops.
I'll be there. I'll be there. I got to see
good,
Captain
man, good.
Clot in action.
Clotbuster in action at night. And also, just to let you know, not only that, he, I don't know if you heard recently, he had a big battle with Darth Vader. Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about this.
There was a Cochrane event, Cochrane Summer Light Up, and Darth Vader challenged the captain to a lightsaber duel. It was amazing.
How did it go?
I took him down.
Well, of course you did. You're Captain Clotbuster. I want to ask you, does this have to do with the kids, like being a part of, you know, superheroes and using your imagination, which I love, by the way? Does that have more to do with Right to Play and the kids, or is that entirely different?
You know what, Drew, I really don't know. This has just evolved. It's just something that has, you know, with some of the stuff I kind of think up, there isn't this big, you know, kind of overarching plan. It's just a fun thing. The kids love it. I actually have a comic based on Marathon Quest. And I think it's important to communicate to all groups in their own way. With the kids, they love the comic. You know, they love the graphic novel kind of thing. I've had a great response with Captain Clotbuster. It just shows people, and I think it's a way of me expressing myself, on how we can deal with very traumatic and difficult times in our lives. And it's just it's a bit of an outcome, obviously, from the clot on the brain and sharing with people what I'm going through in a very different way. So I just try and be a bit creative and have fun. I mean, that's the number one thing. When I'm running as the captain, I get, as the rookie superhero, I get great, you know, great response. People love it. Kids love it. And it's just a bit of a way of expressing myself and sharing and trying to share the journey I'm on. Yeah.
Martin, I want to know more about what you're doing now. We haven't even mentioned it. I don't think we mentioned this book we're talking about today. And then what's coming up for you in the future?
So I'm working on book number two right now. It's called Running to the Edge, and it'll come out on November the 8th. And that will cover the quest that I did after Marathon Quest 250. What happened after Marathon Quest 250 was I was asked to go to Benin in West Africa to visit the children we had fundraised for. And it was an amazing experience with Right to Play and the kids and the program. And I came back all kind of re-energized, and I came up with this second plan, which again, Sue was a bit shocked at, but called Quest for Kids. So it was the five quests. It was 10 quests in 5 years to raise $1 million. And we ended up raising 1.3 million. This second book covers the quests and the clot on the brain. So really up to now. And so that'll be out on November the 8th. Also, I am training hard in preparation for the big one next year, which is the 150-kilometer solo run. Again, fundraising for Right to Play and to help the kids. And I'll be speaking at conferences, conventions, working with companies on having a finish-the-race attitude. So that's a big effort these days, is doing the running, fundraising for Right to Play, but also, you know, my business, the keynote speaking and the books.
And do you have a website you can direct our listeners to?
Absolutely, at www.martinparnell.com.
Fantastic. Martin, it's been an absolute pleasure. I insist you come back and join us again in the future.
Absolutely, Drew. I want to keep you guys updated on what the captain's been doing and any other development that love talking to people about, you know, their goals and aspirations. And if I can help in any way, I'd be happy to.
Fantastic, Martin. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. And we wish you all the best in your new adventures to come.
Great. Thanks, Drew. Talk to you again.
That's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our community we're building here online. I hope you enjoyed that interview. I hope that gives you some insight and some details, maybe ideas and suggestions on how all it takes is to have that right attitude, have that finish the race attitude, one step in front of the other. I think if you talk to just about anyone when it comes to trying times, when it comes to the most difficult times in their lives or maybe in their race specifically, all they're thinking about is putting one foot in front of the other until they finish the race. Thank you so much for being here. Again, thank you for tuning in. All past shows are going up on trueformlife.com. This is our main website. We have our products up there. We have our nutrition programs, our fitness programs. If you need any help at all, please shoot us a message. You can find us on facebook.com/trueformlife. This is our main page where we're posting about lifestyle, nutrition, fitness, trying to keep you on track. We're also on instagram.com/DrewTadia. If you're listening to the show, we'd love it if you tag us in your story so we know that we're helping influence you positively, either whether you're running or whether you're a listener, maybe planning to run, or maybe you just like these, enjoy these extraordinary stories, I like to call them. You can also check out our other podcast and nationally syndicated radio show called Exploring Mind and Body. That's exploringmindandbody.com. I interview the world's top leading experts in holistic health in a number of different ways. We've been doing that for almost 10 years have almost 500 shows. So if there's something holistic you want to hear or you want to listen, there's a very good chance we've already talked about it. And on exploringmindandbody.com. In both cases, we're on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, a number of other platforms. And if you have any guest ideas or if you have any guest suggestions, please shoot us a message. We're always interested in bringing on guests for those that are interested in hearing specific runners, for example. Once again, thank you so much for being here, and we hope to catch you on the next show.